All right, folks, welcome back to the latest Mountain West Wire basketball podcast edition. This is your, I was going to say blitz, but that's football. Full court price. You'll be getting a lot of these over the next week or two because stuff gets in the way. Stuff happens. But myself, Jeremy Moss, Eli Betker, MWWire.com, Facebook, Mountain West Wire, MWC, don't forget to see on Twitter, MWC Wire. We passed 1,000 followers on Twitter, so that's always a positive.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully we don't go back under, though, right?
Let me check really quick at this day. We are 1,001 as of recording on Sunday, whatever today is, October 20th? 22nd?
22nd, thanks.
22nd, so, yeah. Sure, late October. So that's when we're recording this, after media day. Practices are sort of starting, getting underway for the Lobos. So let's get going here. Let's start how we do most. Do you have the coaching rankings in front of you of where the Lobos, where you put new head coach Paul Weir there?
I don't, but I think I put him 8th, I want to say. I can pull it up real quick.
I do remember, as we had many podcasts before about this, this is one of the most unique coaching searches in a while.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a strange one for sure.
It went super quick. Or not super quick, but it started on a, what, Final Four weekend, essentially, late. They basically has the deadline to be able to fire him without the contract rolling over for the new fiscal year to owe him a lot more money. All right, I got the coaching rankings here. But, like, Jeff Graham reported Final Four doing meetings. You thought it'd be, I forget. Do you even remember who the other candidates really were?
Yeah, they had Joe Dooley from Florida Gulf Coast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Scott Cross from UT Arlington.
That's right.
And they had, I forget it, the San Antonio Spurs assistant. I'm blanking on his last name right now. It was a Hispanic guy, I want to say.
I don't recall. Okay.
San Antonio Spurs assistant.
It ended up being Paul Weir. Just because.
Yep.
Why not? Down the road. Take him. Second straight year Mountain West coach has taken guys from the WAC. He actually put him 6th.
6th, okay.
Yeah, because you put it's a slight miracle that ex-Lobo or ex-Aggies coach Paul Weir even ended up in Albuquerque after athletic director Paul Krebs, now former. Seemed like said, it's Steve Forbes, East Tennessee State, Scott Cross. Here it is, James Borrego, the Spurs assistant.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
And then Weir's name came out of literally nowhere to be the head coach. So it's
that's familiar, right?
Yeah, exactly. almost the UNLV situation. So new head coach. This team might have a UNLV type season last year because the talent's not there, but how many new players are coming in who they lost, and they might challenge Air Force for the bottom. Maybe.
Yeah, it's possible. I think the more I've looked at their roster and kind of what's going on in the program, I get a little bit better feeling about them. In early spring, I had them pegged as the dead last team in the conference at number 11. But, and we'll save the final finishes for last, but I think that they're slightly better than that. I think next season they'll definitely take a sizable leap. I'll have a piece on New Mexico coming out later this week or whenever you might hear this podcast. You'll probably see it. But it's Paul Weir and his staff with Brandon Mason. He's a solid assistant coach with them. They're pulling in some talent after the mass exodus that was March and April of 2017 for New Mexico, where they lost seemingly their entire roster.
Yeah, a couple guys that did, like Sam Logwood, who was going to transfer, decided to stay. They bring in guys like the Akron grad transfers, Antonio Jackson. They still have Dane Cooper. Sure.
Thanks, Kuiper.
Kuiper. Kuiper. Sure, Kuiper.
Yeah.
and the two biggest losses, obviously Elijah Brown, who's up at Oregon now, almost 20 points a game, who, like we said, the AI of college basketball, 10 for 40.
That's right.
Something like that, 10 for 28. And then Tim Williams has graduated. So right there, that's 38 points per game they're missing. They're not going to make that up, are they?
No, they're not going to make that up, but obviously when you plug new guys in there, they'll manufacture some points. I think that Antino Jackson's a huge pickup for them. He'll start at the guard spot for this team, and he'll be there for a season. He was a quality player with Akron, and Chris McNeil's another nice player in the backcourt. He's a JUCO transfer. So they do have some decent guys. The overall talent isn't that great. Like I said, next season will be better. They have Vance Jackson coming in, Jaquan Lyle. Those are both power conference double-digit scoring transfers. So 2018-2019 will be a better season for them. As far as this year is concerned, they'll be probably near the end of the pack.
Okay, I'm going to break up what we're doing really quick because we're going to talk about exhibitions and stuff. and the hurricane relief games. The Rams have one, don't they? Is that correct? Northern Colorado?
The Rams or New Mexico?
Oh, sorry. Oh, geez. We just talked about the Rams. I'm sorry. Lobos. They got BYU. That's right. Sorry. We just recorded the Rams show like minutes before. And I'll pull up Twitter really quick because, we'll hop in that real quick. We'll bounce around because that's what we do.
Yeah.
Because off topic, hashtag, whatever you want to call it. But they play BYU, which is pretty cool. Dave Rice. Dave Rose, excuse me.
It's all coming together.
Dave Rice, Dave Rose. I got those guys mixed up even years ago. But no, you got BYU going to, is it technically still Dream Style Arena?
Yep, unfortunately.
The Pit, you mean, right? That's where they're playing this thing. So I brought this up because it's a good cause. If you're in the area, it's a good game because these teams used to be rivals. There wasn't that Jimmer game put up 50 points versus the Lobos in the Mountain West Tournament, I think it was.
Yeah, something like that.
Go avenge that, current Lobos, who know nothing about it. Go do that. But the reason I brought that up, because it's a good cause, it's is there a specific hurricane, or is it just kind of a general?
I think it's for Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico, okay. So really quick, I brought this up because I was looking on Twitter real quick. You know Missouri-Kansas had a game today, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to take a guess? Because most of these aren't on TV, which you would think they'd do that, even pay-per-view, which is what this game did. Do you know the amount of money raised at the moment between before concessions or whatever else they're including? This is just strictly tickets and pay-per-view.
I have no idea.
Would you like to take a guess?
No, because it would be brutally wrong.
Nearly $2.5 million.
Dang.
So I don't know how much
for one game?
Yeah. It goes, I'm not sure how much it was for pay-per-view or tickets. Because I think the Nevada game is, what, $5 or something? Something like that.
Almost all of the Mountain West games are either $5 or $10 a piece.
So, a reasonable price. They're not on TV. They're on radio, I believe. But you would think, why not? I don't know how much you get for pay-per-view and TV, but why not stick them on TV and $20 or something? What would you pay? Would you pay $20 to watch New Mexico BYU?
You know, if it's going to a good cause, yeah, of course. And all these games are going to be competitive. They've got some solid opponents that the Mountain West teams are playing. So, I mean, there's really no better reason to tune in and watch and support your new players and returning players for your teams because you'll see quality basketball. You get your first new look at these players, and overall, you probably get a nice game against a good team.
Yeah, most of these are good teams. And really quick, I scrolled down a bit further on this. 725,000 for pay-per-view subscriptions, 1.75 headed into the game. So
that's awesome. That's great.
That's great. So if you don't want to give $5 Red Cross, go to New Mexico. Go to Nevada's game. Go to – or how many teams are doing – well, by the time you hear this, it's going to be over, but crap. Whatever, it doesn't matter. If you're able to do that, we love it. It's awesome you did so. But there's enough teams, so if you're able to support that, that's great. But I step in to see that. So it's a good way to do it. And this – every year, like this is our, I guess, mini off-topic portion of the show, like everyone will have. There's, what, 6 teams doing this?
We have 5 so far from the Mountain West.
And they're all playing good teams. Like, isn't Grand Canyon playing Nevada? We got New Mexico, BYU, CSU, Northern Colorado, we said. San Diego State,
yep,
USC.
And Fresno State, St. Mary's.
Yeah. So what? So this is a new rule that went into effect this season?
Yeah, it just was passed by the NCAA a few weeks ago and allows these teams to schedule one exhibition game before the season starts and have the proceeds go to charitable causes. And I think it's perfect because coaches obviously won't pass down an opportunity to have game-like simulated practice against other quality teams, and obviously everyone will be on board with donating money to these causes that will help those in need. So it's a great thing all around.
They should do this every year. 12 games, 12 teams. Why not? Or 11 teams in our conference. Why not do it every year?
I don't know what the future plans of it are, but I don't see why not. I mean, it's a good cause, and obviously it doesn't always need to. You don't need a disaster to help other people out. So if you can schedule one of these exhibitions every year for your teams, and I think it's a good thing for the NCAA and college basketball in general.
Yeah, if you can do it. It's like you don't have to do it toward – it can be toward anything. Like, there's always Alzheimer's, breast cancer, whatever you want, diabetes or something. There's always a million things. You could – what's the rule against helping out your own school for scholarship fund or something? You know what I mean? There's probably rules in place of what you can or can't do because, NCAA and all that fun stuff. Right. They're kind of picky sometimes, but – and you're playing good teams, so maybe do it every other year. I get not every year. I get why they do those kind of quiet scrimmages because it's more of a – it's not a real game scenario where it's like maybe more coaching, hands-on. These are actual games because I don't – for me, I wouldn't want to pay to watch a practice because I've seen too many of those and they're not all that fun. But why not? I get that, but every other year, do something like this. Why not? This seems like a good cause to whatever cause may be. It's going to be fine. And for the record, it is Dream Style Arena. They need that sponsorship money, folks.
We're lacking YSPY's Arena and Nick Duncan this season. It's going to be a long year.
Let's just call it the pit. That's all we got to do. The pit, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
so
it'll work.
Let's get back to specific Lobo stuff here. Yes, sir. Closing these other tabs I had before. Close and close. So let's go to the media poll really quick. Lobos. Also, I'm going to go off topic again. Did you see the images they provided for a media day? The graffiti style?
Oh, yeah. That was... And, you know, I was trying to type up an article early morning on the results of the polls and whatnot, and they had an GIF form, so I kept on having to scroll through it because the teams would go from 11th up to 1st. So I had to go through like 4 times just to write all the teams down and the number of votes. So, yeah, that was a bit of a challenge.
And it's also not clear to read. It's like something from the early 90s.
The overall production of the Mountain West Media Day this year,
Jenga.
I don't want to harp on anyone, but they can do a lot better than what they did this season, unfortunately.
Guys, if you play games and stuff, you got to make them quick. You can't play a 20-minute game of Jenga or whatever it was.
The Sangfelder and Hutchison were on camera for about 45 minutes playing board games.
It's like, I get that's kind of unique, but do like 5 minutes at most. Do something.
Yeah.
Do the Snapchat game or those quick games that they did for football the past couple years. Like, come on. Do something that's good, fun. But they're predicted to finish. Is ninth too high for the Lobos?
I don't think so.
And they're distant from, say, like, the point total. You have Utah State 8 at 102. New Mexico's pretty close at 93. But then you got San Jose State 41, Air Force 38. Is it just because Lobos have a few key players back, because since Brandon Clark left San Jose State and Air Force just has a bunch of dudes?
Yeah, I'd be really curious where San Jose State would be pegged if it weren't for Brandon Clark leaving, because they only have 3 more votes than Air Force, and I and a few others thought San Jose State could be a legitimate dark horse if they would have held on to Brandon Clark and Dave Wojcik, but they're in 10th, and New Mexico's a solid 52 votes ahead of them, so they're kind of with the Utah State-Wyoming pack, which is a bit surprising because I think Wyoming's significantly better than New Mexico, but
and
that's how the voting sorted out.
And sort of UNLV, because they're only at 138.
True.
Within striking distance. So, Rebel fans, truth hurts, right?
Oh, man.
We'll get to
that podcast is going to be rough.
It's going to be more than 30 minutes, I'm telling you that.
Oh, man.
It's going to be exciting. That's what it's going to be. A lot of yelling. A lot of, shut up, you're an idiot. But, all right, so back to Lobos here really quick. Like, so since they're losing, like, Brown and other and Tim Williams, who's going to be the guy? Sam Logwood only averaged, like, what, 8 points a game last year? Who's, like, going to be the man for this team?
Well, I think Logwood's never been a huge numbers guy. He's not filling up box scores necessarily, but he'll probably have to be the leader of this team, and you can also count on Dane Kuiper. Those will be the 2 main returning guys for this roster. I think Antino Jackson's probably their number one scoring outlet. I've seen some good things about him. Obviously, I don't know what this rotation's going to look like because things have been pretty hush-hush for the most part, and you really have a number of players that you can thrust into the lineup in really countless ways. So I think Antino Jackson is probably their number one scoring outlet. He had 8.8 points per game in his last season with Akron. So that's a decent option. And I think Dane Kuiper and Logwood probably could score around 10 points per game. They might finish a bit under that, maybe 9 points, but those will probably be the top 3 guys.
So can those top 3 guys like keep up with other top guys from like what, Fresno, Wyoming, Boise?
No.
That's a quick no there.
Fresno's got 4 returning guys that average, I think, at least 12 points per game. So that's a no-go. I think Wyoming's Justin James is a much better scorer than anyone on this roster. Utah State and Kobe McEwen and Sam Merrill, those are 2 legitimate double-digit scoring options. So, I mean, New Mexico will end up with guys in double figures just because, well, they're a basketball team that's playing a 40-minute game, so that's going to happen. But overall, scoring's probably going to be fairly balanced. They're not going to rely on one guy because there isn't a star offensive scorer on this team. and we can probably expect Evelyn Score to finish maybe 11, 12 points per game.
All right, really quick, I'm checking out a few transfers that are coming in. I'm assuming these guys are still accurate. Tell me if I'm not. They brought in Vance Jackson from UConn.
Yeah, he's sitting out this year.
Okay, mm-hmm. That's right. He's out this year. Okay. And then is this guy eligible right away? The Australian, I guess you could call him wing, Makuch Meluch?
Yeah, he's eligible. I don't know how much he's going to play, but that's a fun name, isn't it? We're going to have to learn how to pronounce that one.
Yeah, it's M-A-K.
He is listed on the roster, though.
Yeah, really quick. M-A-K-U-A-C-H. So Makuch? I'll go Makuch. And then Makuch Malich.
It's spelled the same exact way, both first and last name, except for instead of a K, it's an L.
Makuch Malich.
That's fun.
There we go. He'll get the nickname.
M&M?
Yeah, exactly. That's going to be coming. As soon as he hits a big three or something, he's going to be called the M&M. That's what it's going to be. So let's start the trend now. M&Ms. We'll call him the M&M there. So I guess we'll go with that to make it simple. I doubt we're the first one to say it, but we're going to say we are just because that's what we do. He's a big guy, 6'11", on the junior national team of Australia. I mean, we've seen a lot of players come from Australia, like Andrew Bogut. Is he still in Cleveland? He's from Australia, correct? He was at
I'm not sure which team he's on now. I think he's on Milwaukee, but who knows? Whatever.
There's been a lot of guys from – I know Bogut because he's one of the first guys that came over, but there's been plenty of guys.
Nick Duncan?
Yeah. Nick. How did I not think of him first? Come on, jeez. I'm slipping. Also got like Dante Exum, those type of guys, straight to NBA. Mm-hmm. But getting guys from there, maybe that could be a – who knows? Because some of these guys you've never seen before, he could start off hot and do something special. I don't know how much time he'll see, but it's interesting that he's one cool note. I'm just reading everything here, so you probably saw this already. 6'5", great. His wingspan's nearly 7 feet long.
Yeesh, man. What is his, like, arms flow down to his kneecaps or something like that?
Shins, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Going deeper, that's crazy.
Deeper. So that could be an interesting addition when if he's going to bring the ball up as a guard. Or shooting guard, so watch. It'll probably mean he'll be. I assume he's a pretty good defender. At least just take a step back and play zone or shadow off a guy and still get a hand in his face, which can be a big deal if you're playing against teams that have like a download presence. You got to kind of go back and forth when you're dropping or not or pressing. So that could be an interesting note. I don't know his stats or anything, but why not bring a guy like that? He's on a junior national team for any country. I don't care what country. That means he's pretty good. That's what's junior national 20 under. I think I'm thinking right.
Think so.
19 under, 20 under, because that's where Brandon McCoy was at. He's on the under 19 team. I don't know if that's considered junior national, or whatever, but something that range. So maybe he's going to be he's not clearly wasn't listed newcomer of the year. That was freshman year McCoy. Newcomer was one of the guys from the Wolfpack, right, on NC State.
Yeah, Caleb Martin.
Caleb, one of the Martin guys. Yeah, so just a guy to look out for, I guess. There you go.
Yeah, I think you know what Paul Weir will probably do in this first season. He has pretty solid expectations for this team, and he mentioned that after he saw Athlon and Lindy's, what their projections were, he said he wasn't so sure about his roster, but there'll be a lot of mixing and matching with this year's rotation. I think it's going to be good for this team to see a lot of playing time out of different guys because the roster is still relatively young and inexperienced, and if you can build forward for the next 1, 2, 3 years, I think that's probably the goal of this team. And I think we'll just have to wait and see because I think next year's team is going to be pretty solid with their two incoming transfers. And as long as they don't lose a number of guys in the offseason, it should be a decent team.
Yeah, also really quick, their close scrimmage was Northern Arizona, which was played at Flagstaff out there. And really quick, I'm just going to kind of flip around here and discuss everything, these players and teams. Season tickets are down a little bit, $73.95 as of earlier this week. Last year, $8,800 was their season low. I'm expecting that to continue. And so I clicked on the wrong link here. I wanted to see what Jeff Grammer picked. There it is. He picked the order of finish. Do you know where he picked New Mexico?
I did read it. I think it was 7th.
Yeah, he picked the Lobo 7th, and then no Lobo player anywhere else on like preseason newcomer. He did. What an interesting note. His newcomer of the year, as we just mentioned, he went with Shakir Justin of UNLV.
Okay.
Is that the Milwaukee transfer, right?
He's a JUCO transfer.
He's a JUCO player of the year, I believe, right?
Yep.
So there's just kind of how the local guys picked. He went Nevada number one, of course. So he's not the guy who picked UNLV first, which I'm pretty sure who we know that is, and we'll talk about that later. But so let's get to the schedule here. Lobos always have the biggest game of the schedule. It's finally happening. After years and years because of Lute Olson, perceiving disrespect about a decade ago.
I still don't know that whole story, to be honest.
I've read about something about I wish I looked it up. Some handshake or walking off the court or something. We'll never play them again. And Lute Olson has passed, correct?
Yes, okay. I believe so.
It's kind of awkward to say, is he here or not here? That's right, yeah, okay.
No, he's not. Nope.
He's not?
Lute is still kicking.
Oh, he is? He's 83 years old. Wikipedia failed
me. 83, yep.
All right, so he's still... Okay, good job.
Alive and well.
Next question. Is he going to be at this game?
Oof, that could make things interesting.
Because that game is... it's probably not because it's in Albuquerque.
Yeah, it's just a short trek.
It is not very far. But that, Lobo is one of those teams that always have a good schedule. So they have exhibition games, obviously BYU, Northern New Mexico. They got open up Nebraska, Omaha, whatever. I don't care. Come on. I guess Northern New Mexico is a game. Sorry, that is an actual game. That's November 11th. So they got the Aggies, the home and home. That's a weird dynamic, but it's always a good game. So they also have Tennessee Tech, whatever. Come on. TCU, what were they predicting in the Big 12? Were they predicted fifth, I think?
I thought they were third, honestly. Either third or fourth.
Maybe that's John Rothstein who picked them up fifth during the offseason. We discussed it. Because
they've got a good team.
Yeah, they also play Nevada as well, right?
Yes.
Or is that – okay, yeah. Let's look here really quick. This is exciting. But it's a good opponent on their team. We'll get back to this later. We'll find it. They also have the coveted, anticipated game, Evansville Missouri Valley Challenge.
Yippee. That should be a winnable one. I don't think Evansville is that great this year. The next two games on the road at UTEP, at Colorado, those will be two challenging games.
Who's UTEP's coach? Is it still Tim Floyd?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's still
for the time being.
Yeah, because
he's still hanging on.
He was still there. I'm trying to check. I can't find here. Whatever. But TCU's supposed to be pretty good. We'll move on. We'll move along from that. So they got UTEP. Is it? And also, this is a big deal. These two teams haven't played forever. Also. Because I remember years ago in the old WAC, and I guess they were never in the Mountain West, but people, anytime you play, even when University of Utah was really good with Rick Majerus going to the Final Four, guys like, who they had on their teams, Andre Miller, Keith Van Horn, Michael Doliak, those guys who are really good, no matter how high you're ranked, you're hoping to go 1-1 when you play New Mexico and UTEP on the road. Because it's such a unique road trip, they're always really good teams to play. So you got UTEP on the schedule, Colorado. Look at their home schedule, man. Why are season tickets terrible? What are you talking? You telling me they're terrible? You got BYU, pay $10 to get in. I just saw that. You got New Mexico State. You got Arizona. You have maybe not. Evansville come to town. There you go.
Well, I mean that Arizona game has some intrigue. The New Mexico State game is going to be interesting, especially the one in Las Cruces. That's going to be Paul Weir, he's got another thing coming.
Yeah, and we'll see, because there's also, didn't he bring to light, I think I saw recently, about something, some financial, because if you haven't been paying attention, there's been some financial stuff going on within the Lobos athletic department. The trip to Scotland or the UK for a golfing trip where spend time with the AD, where some people paid, some people didn't pay. Then there's a guy from the NM Fishbowl who, there are people within the athletic department of New Mexico say he's full of crap. Not going to say who.
Yeah, there are some legitimate question marks in there for
However, did you see the New York Times article about him? A feature about him?
I don't think so.
They talked about his website, and I'm pretty sure if you are at least somewhat right, they're not going to chat about you about this to a pretty big publication for a website that's pretty minor in the grand scheme of things. So me and Matt discussed this on football, but go check out mwfishbowl.com because there's some interesting stuff over there. And most of it's football side. But then there's basketball. We've talked about it. TV stations talked about it, about the trip overseas and Paul Krebs, using air quotes here, retired or resigned end of June. There's been talk about the athletic department being needing $4 million to pay the light bill, electricity. And so there's, I'm just saying, I'm not harping on, but there's stuff out there that's been confirmed by that guy. So there's stuff going on, so they need people to go to these get season tickets to help the money out to keep the program going. Not that there's danger of any closing, but there's some stuff going on. So
While we're on this this sort of tone and topic,
what do you got next?
Did you see Coach Larry Eustace's comments about Paul Weir and his financial standing about New Mexico. Did you see that from Mountain West Media Day?
I missed that one. What happened?
Larry Eustace quite forcefully said that, and you can find this because Jeff Grammer and Sam Vecenie and a few of those guys were there and reporting on it. Eustace pretty much called New Mexico job the worst in the country, and he said that.
Why?
Paul Weir said something like, there's no reason why Paul Weir should be paid, I think it's $660,000 a year, something like that, to coach at a place like New Mexico. But yeah, Eustace said that Paul Weir's got the worst job in the country. So,
does Eustace know the Lobos programs are better than Rams for about the past 50 years?
Oof.
Like, I'm not right? Come on.
Yeah.
What have the Rams done lately?
Okay, here's the direct quote from Eustace. I think he's got the worst job in the country. I just told him that. It doesn't pay enough. If I got paid $5 million, I'd take all that crap that you get in Albuquerque, but he doesn't make enough money. But that place is different, as you know. It's a different beast.
So he's referring also, okay, this reminds me of something else. You know who used to be the head coach of the Lobos?
Steve Alford?
Dave Bliss.
Oh, right.
And he mentioned something about being – that's where – okay, I bring that up because in that same New York Times article about the guy – was it Dave Libet, I think his name is, from the NM Fishbowl. The reason he has that website name because Dave Bliss felt it was too much of a fishbowl because everybody's watching you. I get the Lobos program is pretty popular. Maybe he's meaning more fan base and media because there's just one paper, a couple – whatever TV stations in town. So, like, media perspective, there's not a lot. But fan, maybe he's kind of joking off of that. I don't know. But if you got $5 million, you tell me Eustace wouldn't go to New Mexico for $5 million? Yes, he would. Come on.
Of course he would.
That would pay outside of like Bill Self, those type of jobs, Kansas, UNC. Not many jobs pay $5 million in college hoops.
Is anyone being paid $5 million a year?
I'm gonna look up the USA Today's thing real quick. But what they did prompt that conversation about why he mentioned that?
I don't really think so. It was just mentioned at Mountain West Media Day, and Grammer mentioned it. But, just when you welcome in a new coach, I guess there are always questions that people ask about, like, why'd you take this job? What do you expect is going to happen? So the financial stuff is kind of interesting to hear because Scott Phillips from NBC Sports, he wrote a post about it. And he said he's mentioned Steve Alford, and because he used to coach New Mexico before he signed with UCLA, and he's making I guess it doesn't say in here, but he signed a 10-year sheet with New Mexico for $1.8 million a year, and that's before he ditched for UCLA, and Paul Weir's making
a third of that,
a little over a third of that right now.
Yeah, Alfred, really quick, 2.6 UCLA right now.
Okay.
And
yeah,
as for your other question, these are from NCAA tournament teams, so it doesn't have everybody. So obviously, Rick Pitino is no longer at Louisville, but he was getting 7.7. And then you got Calipari, 7.1. Coach K, Krzyzewski, 5.5. And then, why is Pitino on here twice? That's weird. Maybe that's over. Total.
It's a bad omen.
No, total pay. Sorry, I went by school pay, not total pay. So okay. Coach Cal gets 7.4. Coach K, 5.5. Self, 4.9. So he'd be the fourth highest coach. You're telling me you wouldn't take $5 million to coach in New Mexico? Come on. There's only four other coaches getting it. Now technically three because Pitino's gone with Kaza and him being – whatever he's doing now, he should just stop it. It's like, no need to fight. Come on.
Yeah.
Just whatever. But that's –
yeah, that's another – yeah, I don't – okay, if – seemingly any coach in the country would take $5 million to coach anywhere. So it's odd comment. This is obviously overblown by Eustace, but the situation that Paul Weir's in right now, he's not making that much money. He's got a legitimate rebuilding project ahead of him. The New Mexico fans are known to be...
they are, yeah. Intense.
They're intense. They're maybe a little bit impatient. Some of them are borderline controversial, as we've seen. So he's got his work cut out for him, and I think he's gonna do fine. I don't know. I just feel like maybe under the new AD things change, but at least under Paul Krebs, he made some, I would say, silly decisions, offering that major conference contract extension and noodles after one successful season with Alford's inherited roster. I thought that was pretty bizarre. but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's like maybe he's making a joke, but I don't know. It's whatever it
happens. I mean, there's no way New Mexico is the worst job in the country. That's just it's not honestly, true.
I get but, here's I think we're getting at because okay, look who the coaching candidates were. No, people weren't crawling over to get this job, and had they not gone within to get Noodles before after Alford left, because Alford, like I said, was getting what one? He said 1.7 million or something like that.
He signed a 10-year offer for 1.8 a year before he left for UCLA.
So, had they gone outside of the family there to get a new coach a couple years ago, they clearly would have gotten a better coach. But when you're not very good and your coach and you, there's a difference between losing a coach who builds a program up and then takes a bigger job, like a step, not a stepping stone, but just a step up in job. Mm-hmm. Not saying Delebo's job is something people won't be there for a while, but it's like you get better. He moved. The reason they had a new coach because Alford got rewarded. It's not like now where Noodles left because they were bad. That's two different ways to get a coach in because getting a coach leaving, okay, this team won 20-plus games, NCAA tournament, they're winning conference titles. Coach moves on to UCLA. Okay, great, fine. But then you could get better coaches, but now your coach is losing record, not doing well. Who are you going to get? I don't care if you're – even if you're – like Arizona or USC, look who they went for. They went for Andy Enfield. Is that tell mm-hmm. me that's a, when they were down? Like I get that's a big jump from him from Florida Gulf Coast there a couple years ago, but you see, same thing. USC was down. Who'd they get? They couldn't get who they wanted essentially. Like they couldn't get the big name coach. You're not going to lure guys from North Carolina, Kansas, whoever was down the street, UCLA or anybody, any good coach out west. Sean Miller, he wasn't going to go. Even Archie Miller probably wasn't going to go from Dayton to take USC job. Or no. Who knows? But it's like, but that's my scenario where it's coming out to me where, yeah, the guys from Scott Cross or the Spurs' assistant, that's the best they could do at the time because the program was honestly down. And so maybe he's right, Eustace, a little bit, saying it's a tough job because there's a lot of pressure from fans and boosters and crap.
On the flip side, people are saying that Paul Weir's probably a bargain for the contract that he has because a lot of people think he's got a lot ahead of him. He's only 38 years old. He's a young coach, and he's pretty widely respected among head coaching circles. So if anything, it's probably a decent contract that they have if you're from a New Mexico perspective. And obviously, Paul Weir's not going to comment on that in depth. He's not going to say that he's underpaid when he hasn't even coached a game yet.
Laugh it off, probably.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to avoid those types of questions. And time will tell whether this contract's good or whether Weir's a good fit. But like you said, for the potential... I guess, potential options that New Mexico had, Paul Weir's just about as good as they could do.
And one other thing to consider, we're at 33 minutes. That's good. Excellent. Good work, us. but here's the thing to consider. New head coach, okay, there's concern. He's only been a head coach one time ever. His first time he's a head coach, taken over from Marvin Menzies at New Mexico State, school record in wins. So he also has that experience of taking over a new, even though it's within, but he's taken over a departing head coach. So he's had somewhat of that experience.
Yeah, that's what concerns me, though, because I think I wrote this in a post. I think it was on that same head coaching post that I ranked all the coaches, is that New Mexico offered that big extension to Craig Neal after he had that first successful season with New Mexico, after he inherited all those quality players that Steve Alford brought in. And that's almost exactly what Paul Weir did this past season with New Mexico State, his first year as head coach in Las Cruces with Marvin Menzies' recruits and his players. So, I mean, there are a lot of coaches that, and I know talent doesn't always win games. You need quality coaches. You need chemistry. But if you inherited a quality roster in the lesser league, chances are you probably do all right. So, and that, I don't want to completely discredit Paul Weir because he hasn't coached a regular season minute of college basketball in New Mexico yet, but it's another gamble that this athletic director, well, I guess ex-athletic director, is willing to take, and we'll see if it works out this time.
Also, really quick, we'll talk about the schedule, but did you know his contract, what did you say, $650,000?
That was just a ballpark. I thought I saw something around that range.
Okay, just so you know, Eric Musselman, who had been an NBA coach, head coach multiple locations, assistant at high major programs. His first, not his current contract, but his initial was $400,000 per year.
Oof.
Which, New Mexico is a better job than Nevada. I would say it still is at the moment. But, and partly that's why they probably paid him that much, $400,000 compared. But Lobos had to pay a little bit. Lobos probably could have got away. I don't know what he was making before it with the Aggies there at Las Cruces, but I bet it had to be a pay raise. So I bet he's making about $500,000, so he can't go less for a perceived better job.
Right.
So that's kind of ins and outs of that. And then really quick, schedule, because we need to wrap this up. So we mentioned BYU. We kind of mentioned schedule. TCU, we did enough schedule, I think. Arizona, that's a big game. They got Rice, Prairie View, A&M. They have the only game that's really, really a stinker would probably be Northern New Mexico.
Yeah, and that's the season opener, a chance for you to start off on a good note. Prairie View, A&M's bad.
Yeah, oh yeah,
they're like, like 340, 350 cut type bad. But so hopefully those are two wins on the schedule. I think they'll pick up a handful of wins if they're competitive against teams like Evansville, UTEP, Rice, Colorado. That'll be good. The expectations will be super low for their home game against Arizona because Wildcats are probably top two, top three in the country.
And then also they could play Maryland in that tournament out in the Emerald Coast Classic out in Florida. So they got TCU.
That'd be a solid matchup.
They got TCU, and then they play either Maryland and even St. Bonaventure in A-10. They're usually pretty good. Any parting shots we need to mention for the Lobos? Prediction, I guess. Are they going to any tournament this year?
I don't think they're going to any tournament this year, postseason. I think their season ends after their conference tournament ends, so next year will be a better year for this team and Paul Weir once he gets his feet wet in this program and gets Vance Jackson eligible, and once he gets Jaquan Lyle eligible, this team will start to rise. As long as New Mexico fans are patient, which we'll see if that happens, but if they're patient with this team, if they can see the direction that Paul Weir's headed, I think everything will work out for these guys.
So are they going to finish 500 on the year?
Overall win-loss or conference win-loss?
Overall.
I think they'll finish below 500.
Ooh, so that's good, probably guaranteed no tournament no matter what, right?
Yeah, I would, let's see, they'll probably play, 30 games? 30, yeah, about 30 games. I don't know, I think they'll probably finish maybe 4 or 5 conference wins. Is that reasonable?
So where would that put them? Because last year, let me pull this up really quick, UNLV and Air Force finished tied for last. Did they have 7 wins in conference play, or were they 4? I'm just kind of curious. Let me look real quick. They still have.
Okay, UNLV had 4, Air Force had 4. So San Jose State and Utah State both had 7.
So if they're about 6, that'd probably be maybe 9th? Maybe?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, 6-7 wins would probably get them about 9th.
Whew, all right, well, that's Lobos for you. Sorry, folks. Next year, I think we both agree this is a pretty good job. Like, out on the West Coast, like, in the conference, it's probably the number 3 job. Would you still say that behind Aztecs and Rebels?
Yeah, I would say so.
And then Pac-12 probably only behind, like, what, the top half? Like, I would say Utah's been pretty good. I'd say it's right behind Utah as a job.
I would think so.
Because
yeah.
Utah has been not great. Been a while, but like UCLA, USC, depending what you say, Stanford, not better than Gonzaga. Would you say St. Mary's, maybe? Lower than them, kind
of? I would say lower.
A little bit. Oh, you would? Okay, a little bit lower. Okay. It's probably top 15 job out west, so I think that's fair to say.
It's not a bad job.
So, yeah, so he's probably just joking around, but I don't know. He's never had. Maybe Stacey needs some green chili. Maybe he's never had that when he's in the town. That's got to be. Come on, man. Try the food there. You got to do something.
That's the magic medicine out there in Albuquerque.
Exactly. Check out that. So that's all we got for this show. We extended it longer for you. So, hey, have fun, Lobos fans. We didn't weren't too down on your team. So there's that. I apologize if we were, sort of. But we tell it like it is because, you know how we say. But MWR.com. Check us out. Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher. Tune in, and I guess if you use Pocket Cast, Podcast Addict, whatever your podcast of choice, thank you. And as we always say, give us a review, tell a friend, retweet. Hey, even if you don't like it, if you think we're the worst people in the world, we don't know what we're talking about, you hate whatever take we said, retweet the podcast and tell quote tweet of what you hate about it and tell your friends to listen to how we're terrible.
I think we still average a 5-star rating on podcasts. I don't want to jinx it, but I think that's still true.
I hope so. That'd be nice. So.
You know, by the time readers lead this, or excuse me, listeners listen to this, I imagine that might change because people, you know, just for the sake of being silly, they like to do that. But hopefully, we hold on to that streak.
Should we tag Lobo Lair in the podcast? See what they say.
They
kind of like us sometimes.
Yeah, they're a good group.
Usually, they're good. They're more reasonable than others for the most part, but they're also
fans. Oh, definitely,
so.
Yeah.
But that's our show for today. So, yeah, again, MWR.com. This Lobos preview will have San Diego State, UNLV. We already have a bunch in the can. We're going in alphabetical order, so whatever team comes before the alphabet of this one, it's already done. Whatever's not, it's upcoming. Or look for it down the road in our podcast feed. But thanks for listening. And, yes, that's Eli Betker there, knowing more hoops than me. Yeah, we're biased against your team.